But in Mitzvah Shem, once we get into our regular routine schedule, we're not going to have shiur Wednesdays. I know it's a very crowded day. Okay, I want to talk about two things before shiur, and then we'll get to shiur. Now that we're in the swing of things, in the thick of things, and winter's man is starting to take hold of us, I want to, for those of you that are still having a hard time keeping all your starim and learning straight through, I want you to try to work on something else. Some of you, Baruch Hashem, are doing really nicely, and you're able to keep all the starim and really make them substantive. But if you're not able to, and that's all right, you're still adjusting, you're still acclimating, there's something called just being in the base matters, even if you're not learning. And that's the road to successful starim. And everyone should be trying to be in the base medrash at this point in the year. I'm just trying to give you calibrations, like what's appropriate for which point in the year. At this point in your year, and remember, things move really, really fast, especially this year because it's an optical illusion. And once Pesach comes, the year's finished because Pesach's really late. And those who go to camp, we'll talk about that also, it's maybe 5-6 weeks. So your year feels long in the beginning, and speak to the Shenabet boys, and they'll all tell you this to a man. It really, really speeds up. So you can't, the margin for error is not that large, is not that great. If you're still having a hard time learning every minute in the base medrash, try as best as you can to be in the base medrash, even if you're not learning. Talking, sleeping, resting, daydreaming. I know it sounds strange because the Beis Medrash is this holy place where you have to be learning Devar Hashem every minute. It's not true. I could give you a roster of the people that I've learned with B'chavrusa, and one was a bigger batlum than the next. You know, part of the Beis Medrash is the hak, and the talk, and the conversation, and the meeting people, and just rubbing shoulders with so many different people. Obviously, you want to learn as much as you can. But even when you are disciplined enough to learn, part of the experience is just being in the base medrash. Alachas kama v'kama, we're still getting used to it, and learning straight through is hard. So even if you're not learning, try to be in the base medrash more or less. And we'll talk about minyan independently, more or less, except for those 2 hours in the afternoon that you're in chugim. If you're in that room, and I know it's more difficult because in high school you're moving around from room to room, but if you're in that room straight through, good things will happen to you. And even if now the ratio between learning and non-learning is still a little bit lopsided, or still a little bit not as tilted towards learning as you'd like, ultimately it will come. What I'd like you to try to avoid is being out of the base medrash, and on two fronts. Number one, obviously if you're tired, you're not feeling well, if it's really, really serious, go to your room and rest. But if you're just a little tired, put your head down, take a break in the base medrash, go for a snack. There's a big, big difference. If you go to your room, it's going to be 2-3 hours. You know it and I know it. You're going to put your head down. You're going to sleep. Lunchtime will come. Your harusa may or may not wake you up. If you just rest in the base medrash, it's likely to be a half an hour, 20 minutes. If you go to your room and start reading a book to relax, it's going to be a couple hours. If you go get a break in the coffee room and you get a snack in the makolet, it's going to be 10, 15 minutes. So just try to eliminate and shave the time out of the base medrash. And again, even if it's not total and complete learning the base medrash, I call this every year, it's called being a base medrash bum. Just being in the base medrash, hanging out. If you're hanging out in the base medrash, you're in a good place, and good things will happen. If you're outside of that room, more or less, that's the way I would see the year. The more time you're in the base medrash, the more successful you'll be. The less time you're in the base medrash, the harder it is to find success. Second of all, and this is a little bit more tricky, but it's similar. It's not the same, but it's very related, is library time. Library time is great, and I know it's quiet. I know it's easier to work there and easier to learn there, and there's a lot of svarim, but every time you're using, try to use it well. But don't use the library as too much of an escape. I can promise, I was just in Princeton on Sunday morning. I gave shiur to our guys there. They're doing fantastically. I'm happy to report. But you have a lot of quiet spaces to learn your whole life. Your living room, your study, your shul on a night with maybe 2-3 people learning. The hustle bustle, the noise, the electricity, the contagious energy, the drive, the pulse, you will never, ever, ever have in your life again. Never. This is your last, that's why you're paying to be here. all the other types of experiences that you can learn here, quiet libraries, you'll have your, again, this is a special library. I know it's difficult. I know you're not accustomed to it. Obviously, if you want to do some research or if you just want to take a break and rifle through some stuff, I'm not saying you shouldn't be there, but try not to have extended 2-3 hour library experiences. Just being in the base medrash, seeing other people learning, feeling the vibe. I know it's difficult. I know it's loud. I know your seat may not be the seat that you choose or that you want. Some guys put earphones, and sometimes you see these guys walking around with these over-the-head earphones. But try to be in the base medrash as much as you can, as opposed to room sleeping, as opposed to library. And even if it's not full-time learning, it's a good place to start working on. Let me ask some of our neighbors to keep a little quiet.
Hey, guys.
Okay. So Avram finishes the war, and he rightly deserves compensation for the war. This is a 13-year war, and wars are very expensive, obviously. And he placated an entire planet from its international conflagration and death and bloodshed. And Melech Sodom is very happy to offer him at least just compensation, and not just for him, but for his allies and those who fought shoulder to shoulder with him. And Avram is very, very extreme, even to the point that it becomes comical. It's a very comical thing to say. Not only will I not take money and gold and compensation and treasure, I don't want your shoelaces. I don't want your strings. It's hyperbolic. It's an exaggeration. Chazal, the Gemara, and Sota already noted it because of that mitzvah, or because of that midah and that demonstration. Am Yisrael was zochah to strings and straps, namely tzitzis and tefillin. What's the relationship between this moment and strings and straps is a whole different issue. But it's a very, very colorful and very flamboyant and very extreme. Like, I don't want your shoelaces. Like, I wasn't offering you shoelaces. I was offering you gold. I was offering you silver. No, don't give me your shoelaces. We talked about shoelaces. It's insignificant. It's strings and straps. The Mishnah says, "Kol mi sheyesh bo megimel devarim elu mitamido shel Avram Avinu." What are the three traits that Avram demonstrated? One is ayin tova, viewing people favorably, generosity of spirit. One is nefesh shvela, humility, modesty, and anochi afa v'efer, next week's parsha. And one is ruach nimucha. What's the difference between a ruach nimucha and a nefesh shvela? Nefesh shvela is humility. Ruach nimucha means you're satisfied with what you have. You're not greedy. You're not avaricious. You don't have these desires that are constantly insatiable. You're happy with what you have. You don't live beyond your means. You don't feel like you have to acquire. You don't have to purchase. You don't need to get more than you, quote-unquote, naturally possess. If you want to acquire a midah, the best way to acquire a midah, and I hope you're starting to think about how to change your midahs and whatever midahs you want to change, it's called Shaviras HaRatzon sometimes. Sometimes you have to act a little bit extreme in a demonstrative way just to check yourself against character traits that may be unrestrained and maybe a little bit too unhealthy. So Avram is trying to work against this desire. Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him, Bagad l'shmecha ve'yei bracha. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises him they'll be very successful. But that can lead to a lot of greed. That can lead to a lot of avarice and a lot of desires that are left unfulfilled and a lot of unhealthy behavior. So Avram is being so determined and so disciplined. I don't want gold. I don't even want shoelaces. He's being extreme. It's known again in the world of Musar, Shviras, HaRatzon. Think about that as you try to change some of your traits. For example, I'll just give you an example of something that sometimes from time to time I work at, and I imagine at your age, it's something you may be attentive to. When you're hungry, so there's a real desire to eat as fast as you can and get to the food and get to the lunchroom. Sometimes I see boys waiting 5 minutes before lunch, waiting online, you know, waiting outside. Rav Aaron was very, very, very opposed to it. I mean, when Rav Aaron saw that, he would get furious. How could you take 5 minutes of learning? How do I see them? Because sometimes I have to go teach other places, so I have to eat an early lunch. But I'm not just talking about how you eat in yeshiva. But if you find yourself a little bit too drawn to food, then just even if you deliberately tell yourself, I'm going to wait a minute. I'm not going to run. I'm going to take my food a little slower. I'm not going to eat that quickly. That moment of breaking your will and breaking this desire by imposing your moral will can lead to general discipline, general restraint. Obviously, when you get angry, other moments. So this is Avram being extreme in order to maintain this ruach nemucha. It's true in general, about traits in general. It's even more true in our world because we really have become a consumer world. And there's a lot of purchasing going on and a lot of, you don't feel it yet, but even the difference between living in the States and living in Israel, I don't carry money. I go through my day, I'm a little bit unique because I'm living in yeshiva. I don't ever have money on me. And I couldn't live that way in Chutz Laretz. Obviously, you need to constantly pay for things, and it's not a moral judgment about one society versus another. But certainly in our society at large, in the global village, Mirz Hashem, we're about a month away from the Rosh Hashanah of consumerism. What's the Rosh Hashanah of consumerism? Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and just the swirl and the excitement, the people lining up to get the new phones and just purchasing it because it's new, and what will be announced at the next convention, and what will be announced with the new lineup and the new model. And it's clear that we're not living based on need, but we're living based on being convinced that we have to acquire. And what does it mean to us when we acquire something new psychologically, and what type of need does it fill? How could we fill that need some other way? So just think about those two issues a little bit when you read this week's parsha. Number one, if there's a trait that you're trying to change, sometimes you have to impose your will. Rav Lichtenstein would routinely finish here at 1:20. And in those days, there's really no food. And it taught us not to grab food and run for food. And I know even to, like when I walk into sometimes a kiddush, I just came back from the States, and you know these kiddushes where people are running to the kiddush table. And I'll never do that. I'll never... Even to the point that I don't like waiting online for food. Like if I see that there's a long line by a buffet, I'll just wait 20 minutes. I'd rather just, not wait online. So they'll run out of this meat or they'll run out of that meat. So I'll get whatever I need to eat. But to me, I'd rather have the dignity of not running for food and waiting 10 minutes to get my food. And so I'll eat a little bit later. That's more important to me. Again, each person chooses their own traits and their own way of exhibiting those traits. But just know that from time to time, if you really want to acquire a trait, you may have to exert moral will and moral force, sometimes in a way that counterbalances natural desires. That's why Avram is so extreme. I want your gold. I want your shoelaces. This is my moral stand. And second of all, obviously, in a world of consumerism, be really, really careful. And every person's level is different, but just be careful not to get caught up in this constant desire to buy new things and purchase new things just because it's being hawked and sold. Okay? Next week, we're going to start talking about davening because Vayera is when Avram davens first. But we'll just. Okay. Let me ask him to close the door.
Sugya.
A very interesting sugya now. It's not really discussed much by the Rishonim.